Good morning and welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. We are so glad to be with you this morning. I guess is whenever we have it coming out and released. You could be listening to it in your bedroom before you go tonight. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're glad that you're tuning in and excited to have a good conversation today. Let's start the conversation with a check-in like we normally do. We've had another week since the last time we sat down to record. So what's been happening that's been good? How are we doing?
The weeks keep coming.
The weeks keep coming.
They keep coming. Sure, you know, they just keep rolling around.
Such is the calendar and how it works.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I think the week has been, it's been a week. And the weather is really bumming me out.
Yeah.
Because it is wreaking havoc on my ability to play golf.
Yep.
Because it is always, I say always, but it feels like it's always rainy and drizzly on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then Sunday, it's be like, oh, it's going to be gorgeous today.
Yeah.
Would you like to go play golf? No, I would not. Maybe I would, but
right.
No, there's this church thing that's like really important, 100%. More important than golf. And so,
I'm right there with you. Yeah. So like I am all week long have been saying, okay,
yeah.
I've got something Monday evening. I've got something Tuesday evening. I've got something Wednesday evening. I'm like, I circled in my mind Thursday evening and I'm like, it's going to be disc golf.
Yeah.
And then I woke up this morning and I looked out and it's just like, oh, please go away.
Yeah.
Please go away because I just want to play so bad.
Well, good news is I think a thunderstorm is supposed to come about 2 p.m.
And then done?
No, I think it's supposed to keep going.
Keep going?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just might get struck by lightning today. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, it's like crazy. So like even yesterday, I was kind of the same way. I was like, you know what? I can get the sermon done. So it's Thursday today. So Wednesday yesterday. I was like, you know what? I could just like break out in the afternoon and just at least go get 9 in.
Yeah.
And before stuff in the evening. And, but then, you know, there were a couple of needs that just popped up. And so it's like, you know, it's probably more important.
More important.
To take care of these.
But it is. There's always another day.
There's always another day. There always is.
There will be a sunny day and we will get to do our thing.
Next week is looking good.
Okay.
Next week is looking good.
So we'll be able to get out there.
Yeah. And you're preaching week 4. So that means I don't have.
You could do a Sunday.
I could do.
You won't be exhausted. Well, I mean, you're still going to come to church.
Yes.
But you won't be exhausted and drained.
Yes.
Like you normally
are. Yes. Well, and you know? the tough part with like trying to squeeze in around on Sunday is, mm-hmm. you know, small group coming over and those things too. So.
Yep.
But no, what I was saying is I might be able to get some afternoons off and just get out there during the week as well.
Yep. So. That's good. Exciting. So this week, the rain is bumming both of us out.
Well, and it's 57 degrees out right now.
Yeah.
It's like we're almost to May.
We're in that like weird part of the year where 57 degrees is cold.
Yes.
Whereas
if it was 57 degrees in November,
November. Oh my goodness, this is
break
warm.
Out the short sleeves.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, looking like a middle school boy with the mm-hmm. basketball shorts and the hoodie and you know, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, super, super fun to get out there. One highlight for me from this last week was that we finished up season 8 of league. So this is the 8th season that we've had.
Is that fantasy?
No,
oh, okay. So you're not talking like a TV show.
No. So
that's where my brain was like, what TV show?
There's season 8. So this is the 8th season that we've done. Each season has like 10 rounds. And
how many episodes?
Yeah. The answer is yes.
10 episodes a season.
10 episodes of season 8 of Disc Golf League play. And we finished that up on Saturday and I won my division, so I was excited about that.
Awesome.
It was a tight round. I did not have the win secured going into the last round, so mm-hmm. I had to play well.
So how many people are in the league?
My division, there's about 6 or 7 that show up on a regular basis, and then there's really like 15, 16 that are in it. But they don't like show up every week, so they don't
have qualify
a chance to win or whatever. So, I won my division and hoping to move up a division, and you know maybe one day be a pro. I don't know.
No,
I can, it's one of those dreams. Like I can never. I'm already 27 years old, and everybody that I'm watching on the pro tour for disc golf is younger than me.
Yeah,
there's some like disc golf. You don't have to be. You know, super young and ripped and all that sort of stuff to play. So you see some guys that are, you know, still playing in their, you know, late 30s, early 40s and stuff.
So old guys.
Sure. you put the word there. I did not. Okay. So it's always like, but there's this kid named Gannon Burr. He's literally 15 years old, and he just won a Pro Tour championship, a Pro Tour like win.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. But anyways, it's fun. I love disc golf. Hey, one highlight in particular this last week, I know that you were encouraged, I was encouraged. We got to sit down with some of our ministry leaders at the church, mm-hmm. just kind of huddle up, really just an encouraging night of sharing stories together. I want to take just a moment just because I'm still, you know, thinking about it. Like Thursday morning, I woke up, like, man, there's some really cool stuff happening around this church.
Yeah.
So I want to take a second just to give opportunities to brag about what God's been up to here at Corinth and maybe share a couple of the stories that we talked about from that, you kind of circle up on Tuesday night. So
yeah, we've
talk
got
to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've got, so what we do is about every quarter we get together with a lot of the key ministry leaders. We call it a ministry huddle, and it's just a chance to check in, check on how things are going. And it is really encouraging just to hear about just the work that God is doing in people's lives. You know, hearing people talking about how, like, their one that they've been praying for probably a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be here either this Sunday or next Sunday. Yeah. So that was really cool. That was exciting to me. You know, being able to share the baptism story of Anna Michael, which I think is the one that we showed this past Sunday.
We showed it. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, it wasn't yesterday, but it was the Sunday before.
Correct.
And it's happened a few times over the years, but it's amazing to me just the reach of our online ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is someone who lived in South Carolina, got connected to us because her mother attends church here. And I don't know if her mom was texting her sermons or whatever, but she started watching the services and felt like, you know, she was ready to take a next step with the Lord. And so she came in and was baptized. Yeah. Just really, really
super cool stuff like that. So if you're hearing that story, the answers for you, your next steps are to subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe.
Share. Because you never know, man, the reach that is going to have there.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, just lots of really cool stuff. Even in the teen ministry world, we've next Sunday, we've got another one lined up. So by the time next Sunday is wrapped up, we'll have 9 baptisms out of the teen ministry for the year. And we're just having a lot of fun
in
the teen room this year. And it's been awesome. Really,
and I think
really cool.
If my math is right, or if I remember what Jeremy was telling me, I think by the here in just a couple of weeks, we'll be up to like 17 in the year already. So, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Just great stuff.
God is up to some really cool stuff. And I know that for both Adam and I, a highlight of our week was getting to circle up with some people and just
absolutely
starting to hear stories. And so it was really cool. Now, if you haven't put this together, Josh is out again. I did not
or
say
we
that
have just the, muted his microphone.
Yeah, he's here. He's just not talking. He's mad at us.
Has Josh ever been mad at anybody? What do you think?
I'm sure. Yes.
Yes. But what is Josh's level of mad?
Outwardly, you never know.
What is Josh's level of mad?
Man, I don't know. I feel like you'd
have to ask Sasha.
So last week we were talking about the incline.
Uh-huh.
And he texted us and he said, "Just booked my flight to Colorado Springs to do the incline." Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which of course he was kidding, but so I don't know. Josh, we know is a runner. Maybe he's just like a rage runner. Like he just gets,
you think that's how it,
if he just gets set off, he'll just go run like 10 miles.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, Josh is way better than me at
he is
being angry.
Better than all of us.
I have had to grow a lot in my internalization of anger instead of outward expression. So I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit's work on
maturity.
Me. But it's good. Yeah, no, Josh is out. This time he is in Israel.
Yeah.
So Colorado last week, Israel this week.
Yeah, I wonder where he's going to be in 3 weeks.
He will be in Arizona.
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks he'll be hiking the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
So
he's just having a good time with family and connecting with other ministry leaders. So super just glad to have him doing that.
Yeah, and
so
I'm really excited about the Israel one because
it's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool because what he's trying to do is he's trying to he's training so that he could actually lead trips.
Yeah.
To Israel for so we can have groups going over there on a regular basis, which would be fantastic.
Yeah. I think that's going to be super, super cool. Here's just kind of a fun question. Well, while he's out in Israel, if you could see just one spot over there, like pick one from the Bible, one geographic location, whatever. If you could just go to one spot, you get on a plane, you fly over there, you see it, you leave.
Let's take low hanging fruit off the table.
Okay, what would be low-hanging fruit? Like,
so the
temple,
empty tomb. The empty tomb.
The empty tomb.
Is going to be there, I would say, Church of the Nativity. And yes. Let's see, is there any other low-hanging fruit that we should just say you can't answer with that one?
I don't know. Maybe the temple. I feel like the temple is just
the Temple Mount. And the temple. Okay, so let's take those three off the table.
Okay.
And so that'll make us think a little bit more.
Yep.
And I'll say this one just because I saw a picture of it the other day and I'd never seen it. But if I have this correct, there is a literal Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Yes.
And so I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And because it looked gnarly. Have you seen a picture of it?
No, I've never seen a picture of it, but I know that it's... They say it's a thing. So
yeah, I thought it was just like whenever I saw that picture, I'll just show my ignorance. It's just like I thought that was just like a metaphor. They,
sure.
Yay, David's though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, man, we've all been there. And it's like, oh no, there's actually.
And David probably walked through there a million times as he's running from Saul, right?
Yes.
So like, he literally is walking through the valley of the shadow of the death. Of death.
What about you, man?
I don't know. Like so. I think this would be considered a low-hanging fruit, so I'll say it and then kind of pick a different one. But I think the Garden of Gethsemane has always been a really powerful story for me, so I would love to kind of walk around that area.
I'd love to see Jericho.
Jericho would be really, really cool. Capernaum, I think, would be really, really cool. And just kind of see the spot where Jesus did most of his actual
the Jordan River
history. Jordan River would be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
So we can't pick one.
No,
Josh, you need to get trained so that you can lead Adam and I on a trip.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so there's that one. I would love to do that one day, but I would also be really just so excited about doing a Paul's missionary journey one too.
Yeah.
And getting into Rome and all that sort of stuff. So
much
travel to come in my future one day. I'm super excited about it. Those would be just awesome, awesome vacations. So you're trying to find the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder if it's like something that they said it was later. They called it something later, or I don't know. So maybe I'm just full of it. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Which I've been, it would not be the first time.
Nine times out of ten.
I can take that one. So if that's not like the place that I think it is, then I would say definitely like a Jericho or... some of those things that we did, the Jordan River.
I think not necessarily close in proximity to,
would you want to
actually Jerusalem or anything like that, but I think Mount Carmel would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. What about floating in the Dead Sea?
That would be fun.
Yeah, Sea of Galilee. I would love to know. I would love to just, here's one. So I remember Josh's dad actually saying this, and I don't know if he was actually able to do this or if he was saying he wanted to do this, but Jacob's Well.
Yeah, and there's so many stories that happen in Jacob's Well.
But here's what Mark said. So that's Josh's dad. He said whenever he went over there one of the first times that he actually sat on Jacob's Well and scooted around the entire rim of it because then he knew he sat exactly where Jesus sat.
Oh, that's cool.
Just a pretty cool idea there. It's like, man, we know that
Jesus is here.
Was literally
right
here in this spot.
Yeah.
And so that'd be a cool one.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah.
All right.
I just want to go.
There we go. Yep. I do too.
I'm going to book a flight while we're
let's jump into the sermon because I feel like we could talk about that for, more than this podcast is supposed to last. So we'll get into the sermon and go ahead and give us a quick recap of what you preached yesterday as they're listening, what you will preach Sunday as we're talking. Manipulative people.
Yeah. So go ahead while you're listening to this and just turn the volume up just a little bit and then just turn it back down and now turn it back up.
You're trying to control them.
I am controlling them. We were talking before we hit the record button just how different of a series this is, and in some regards just difficult to preach because normally like inside baseball stuff is we love just – because we're Ozark Christian College graduates. And it's like, just give me a text and we'll go.
Yep,
and we'll,
100%.
But this is, far more topical, more just like straight up. It's like an application, like the entire sermon.
Yeah.
Instead of just a portion of it being an application. And so it's funny that a series called Difficult People has been difficult to preach.
Yeah.
But so yeah, we talked about the manipulators and just those controllers in our lives, those people who try to control everything that we do. And you know, we tried to identify, you know, just some of the tools of the trade that they use on us, how to identify it, and then just how do we kind of move forward from it by setting some healthy boundaries and being able to put some practical things and even give you some practical phrases to be able to say to people who are trying to manipulate and control you. So once again, hopefully it's helpful. I think that, you know, the idea that there are people who have a life motto of, you know, God loves you and I have a plan for your life, that there are those kind of people in our world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they may not even say God loves you. May just be like, I have a plan for your life.
And one of the things that's interesting too is, like, that phrase from our perspective doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
From their perspective, it may come like with honest to goodness, like good intentions,
yeah.
But they don't realize
how
harmful it actually is.
Right.
Now, like, it might come with bad intentions as well on the other side, but sometimes it's like, yeah, God loves you and I have a plan for you. Yeah. And it's like, okay, Mom, I love you, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it's like this. People do have good intentions, but go about it the wrong way because of the control that they're trying to have. So just thought that was interesting too.
Yeah. Like, you know, on that specific phrase, something that didn't make it into the message, was this idea of, you know, Proverbs 22 talks about, train a child up in the way they should go.
Right.
And, so what sometimes that, you know, that makes parents think is that it's like, okay, I've got to like corral, direct. And don't get me wrong, there's directing and those kind of things there, but the way that proverb is intended to be understood is that you're directing them towards God's plan for their life, not your plan for their life, but God's plan. And so you're training them up so that they would be able to know what God's plan is for their life, and then that they would be following that the rest of their days.
Yeah,
so
super super good. Love that. Now I thought it was just fun. The examples that you gave, you just hit so many different Bible stories. You know, you went into detail on three of them, then you like machine gunned a couple of them, where it's just like, and there's this one, and there's this one. And
yeah,
there's
isn't
this
it
one,
crazy?
And there's this one, and man, I just thought that was so fun because I'm, you know, Bible college nerd, so I'm reading through your sermon and I'm like, oh, there's that one, oh, there's that one, and I'm starting to see like, oh my goodness, this really is a thing. So you mentioned tons of examples. I wanted to just like take some time to talk through some of them.
Mm-hmm.
What are some, you know, maybe some shared themes in regards to manipulation happening between the stories, specifically the three you went into detail on, Jacob and Esau, Herodias, and the whole John the Baptist story, Samson and Delilah. So let's kind of talk through some of the stories and some themes of manipulation that we see happening through them.
Yeah, I think that the big idea, and it's probably not a huge surprise, but, you know, a manipulator is trying to get you to do something that you probably don't want to do on your own. And so it's about their agenda. It's about their wants and their desires, their plans, not yours. And so they don't have your best interest in mind. And so whether it's, you know, Jacob and Esau, and I think, so this hits me here. Jacob was a manipulator. Okay. Delilah was a manipulator. Who's the other one I used?
Herodias. Yep.
And her daughter were manipulators, but Herod and Esau and Samson were not innocent in it.
Correct.
Because they allowed themselves to be manipulated.
Yeah, they put themselves in that opportunity.
Yes. Yep. And so, Jacob, you know, tricked Esau, but Esau's the one that
gave up his birthright
for a bowl of soup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how stupid is that?
Dumb.
You know, Samson.
Better have been some good soup.
Yeah. It's like, man, I don't know, man. Trading all that for a bowl of stew. Doesn't seem like a great deal.
No.
Herod was complicit. He did not. I mean, he made the stupid statement that they were able to twist and manipulate against him, but he could have just said, nah, that's dumb.
Yep.
Nah, that's a little extreme. I'm not killing somebody. You know, you'll pick something else.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Samson. Samson put himself in a place where he could be manipulated. So anyway, that's just interesting to me. That's kind of the common thread that you see there. And whether it's Jezebel and Ahab or What were some of the other ones we mentioned there?
You said King Saul and David.
Yeah, Saul tried to manipulate David. Just he's like, yeah. You know what? I know what I'll do. I'll give you my daughter.
Yep.
You know that didn't work.
You mentioned even David and Uriah. The story of David trying to cover up for his sin with Bathsheba.
Yep.
And I think that was
Satan
obviously trying to manipulate Jesus.
Yeah.
You've got all sorts of these like different stories. Now I think that one of the maybe outliers there, the Satan trying to manipulate Jesus. Jesus probably didn't.
Yes.
You know, place himself there. Now, he did go into the wilderness to be tempted.
He was led there.
He was led there by the Spirit, but obviously overcame the manipulation because he's Jesus and we are not.
Yeah. And David, I would say, overcame the one with Saul.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Uriah actually overcame David's manipulation. Now, he lost because he got killed. But
he's gone.
But he didn't give in to the manipulation.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, because
honor.
Remembering that story. Just super, super cool of Uriah. You know, David's like, go home, spend the night with Bathsheba so that, you know, maybe she's going to have his, you know,
we can
end on you. Right. And he's like, no.
Yeah. Gets him drunk the next night.
It is not fair for me to go home to my wife
when
the rest of my brothers are still fighting
in battle. They're out there sleeping in tents, and I'm not going to do that. Gets him drunk.
Yeah.
And Uriah has more character plastered out of his mind than David does.
Sober.
He's sober.
Yeah. At that point, I love these.
Yeah.
These examples, these stories. What are so one theme that you've mentioned here already, just to kind of help us, is that it seems like, especially with the first three, the people kind of, you know, Samson, Herod, Esau, they all kind of put themselves in a position
to in which be manipulated.
They can be manipulated.
Yeah.
What are some maybe other themes you're noticing with some of these stories about just the idea of manipulation, maybe from the perspective of the manipulator, what they're trying to do, or
yeah, it's definitely they have an agenda for the other person's life.
Sure.
Or there is a
there's an agenda that they're trying to meet, and they can use the other person.
Yes. Yeah. They're users. Yeah. They're using them. Jacob's using Esau. Delilah is definitely using Samson.
Yeah.
Herodias is definitely using Herod, and it's for different reasons. You know, Jacob is probably more selfish gain. And jealousy. Delilah is, I would say, what would you say? That's
looking
about
to make a profit,
and power, and then Herodias.
That's just a grudge.
Vengeance,
revengeance, revenge.
Because revengeance. I think we should make that a word.
Yeah.
Revengeance.
Because of what John the Baptist was preaching.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I don't like that.
Yeah, she was ticked because he called her out.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, what you're doing sinful.
Right.
She's like, well, I'll get you. And she did.
Yeah. You got God.
He got God.
Sorry about you, buddy.
God. So I would say that. It's just like there's this, it's manipulators, controllers, or users of other people for their own gain.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one.
Yeah. Love that. Love the examples. One of the things that I just had coming up in my mind again and again and again as I was reading the sermon, was just the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
That the very first time that we see this is the serpent manipulating Eve in order to not only accomplish his agenda, but to kind of use Eve to kind of fall off track. And so, you know, Satan and is the master manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about how we want to deal with the manipulative person, there's a little bit of this where it's like we're also dealing with a conversation about overcoming Satan's temptations.
Yeah.
And you even see that because of the example that you threw out with Jesus and Satan being tempted, right?
Yeah.
And so
there's actually a part of me that was tempted to use that in the application and just use that story with Jesus and Satan to show how he overcame it.
Yeah.
Didn't go that direction, but that was a thought that I had as well.
Yeah. And so all of that to say, like, you know, this conversation is helpful because it's not only going to kind of teach you, you know, some principles and practical things that you can do to kind of deal with and overcome the people who are trying to control you in your life, but also at the same time, you know, to go back a few sermons ago and talk about, like, we're fighting a battle as well, and there is a power that is trying to manipulate us and remove our focus from God, good things, and place our focus on bad things, which is what which is what he does. And, mm-hmm. you know, Satan manipulates, he twists the truth of God in yep. the garden and says, no, did God really say that you mm-hmm. can't eat this? He's just trying to hold out on you. He's yep. just trying to hold out on you. Then look at how good it looks.
Yep.
You'll be fine. And so he manipulates. So I don't know. I was trying to get a question out of there. I don't know like what the question really is, but just.
No, I think that's a great observation yeah. that we are fighting a constant spiritual manipulation that is going on there. So not only are there people in our lives that are trying to manipulate us, but there is a deceiver who's doing
yeah.
the same.
Yeah.
I think it's a great observation.
So yeah, the point of sharing the stories here is just to talk about how it's real. You know, we've said this a couple of times now. It's like the reason that we're doing this series is because the people that we're mentioning are real and they're kind of inevitable yeah. in different yeah. circles and seasons of your life. And so people look to manipulate or to control other people all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once again, to bring up a common theme of this series is it's the log in our own eye before the speck in the other person's eye. I think just as a broken and fallen world that people, including us, tend to lean towards the desire to control.
Yes.
Just so often. So talk to us a little about why that is. Why do we lean towards this desire to control and manipulate other people or situations or circumstances?
I think, and I'll see if you've got anything else that you can add to this, but I'll get two big reasons. One is because we're scared. And two, and nobody likes to say this out loud, but we think we would be better at being God than God is.
Yeah.
So one, we're scared. And so whenever we're scared and we're insecure, and feels like things are going out of control, what most of us try to do is control more.
Yeah.
And so we squeeze tighter, we tighten up, we, you know, become a little bit more unbearable. And it's like, okay, so really at its core, manipulation is about control. It's trying to control other people. And so we're trying to control the events. But the underlying theological reason is we think that whenever things aren't going the way that they need to, we've got to control them because God is either asleep at the wheel and nobody wants to say it out loud. But the way we act is as though we think he's incompetent.
Yeah.
And that,
or that he's, like you were talking about with therapeutic deism.
Yes.
Yeah. That he's uninvolved. And so yeah. therefore I have to pull myself up by my own bootstraps yes. and figure it out.
Yeah. And so the reason why that's bad, obviously, is because, you know, we're not supposed to live by fear, mm-hmm. Not to be controlled by our fears. And then obviously, I don't make a good God, and neither do you. And none of us do.
No.
And so we don't know the whole picture. We don't have that much power. And so, that's why those are just bad, reasons why we do that. But those are a couple. Anything that you can think of?
No, I think you're spot on with that. I was thinking of the word insecurity, mm-hmm. which is kind of tied to that.
Just to the fear one.
Mm-hmm. That you're talking about. I think so many times that we're so insecure about ourselves or our situations that we try to gain security by
yep.
grabbing control.
Yep.
And you know, it's applicable to everything, right? Like it's people, mm-hmm. it's finances, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's out of the, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I think one of the things that just will help with that is just the practice of learning that what you have in front of you doesn't actually belong to you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so the people in your life, you don't own them.
No.
The money in your bank account, that's not yours.
Yeah.
The time on your calendar was given to you, yeah. you know, like, so all of these things that you have, all of these relationships that you're in, those are good gifts from mm-hmm. God. And so whenever you kind of relinquish your quote unquote ownership of those things,
mm-hmm.
it frees up, you know, your natural desire to want to have to control them.
Right.
Right. So the word really is just surrender mm-hmm. those things back to God and allow him to do what he wants. So with your children, direct them to what God's plan is with your budget. You know, you have goals, mm-hmm. do what you want to do do what you can do to meet those goals, but also at the same time, surrender that so that the Lord can
yeah.
Bless even more. And so it's just a really, really cool conversation. Now, before we talk through how we can deal with the manipulator and get really practical. I guess, you know, as we were kind of talking, we may have answered that question a little bit, but what are some ways that we can kind of overcome our natural desire to control, right? So if we're fearful, if we're...
Yeah, I think it's surrender. I think that's the key word. Yeah. I think it is. I think it's the key word. The whole idea of that we're daily just surrendering control. And if you have to wake up every morning and remind yourself that there is a God and it is not me, then that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's just surrender.
Yeah. So one of the things that you did yesterday that I thought was really helpful, just to kind of put some labels to what we're dealing with, you gave some descriptions of, different, you know, types of characteristics of someone who might be a manipulator, someone who might, desire control. You said guilt, flattery, intimidation, isolation. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk through those for just a minute and give us kind of a description of what you mean? So like if guilt is a description for the manipulator, what does that kind of look like?
Yeah, it's one of their tools. And so it's the guilt trip. Mm-hmm. I think we've made this. Have we made this joke on the podcast before? But anyway, it's so easy to do. Whenever I was a kid, I would wake up and I didn't enjoy going to church as a kid. There's a confession. How was that? Feels good to get off my chest. but I would be like, oh, I just don't feel good. I don't want to go. You know, it's just like, and my mom would say something like, well, I'm glad Jesus didn't say that he didn't feel good when it was time to die on the cross for the sins of the world.
I love that.
You know, and it's just like, I'm not saying my mom's a manipulator or any of those other kind of things. But that is a version of the guilt trip.
Correct.
And
I'm trying to guilt you into being
I'm trying to guilt you into doing what I want you to do or what I think is best for you. And I think in our families, it's that relative that, you know, can be like, well, you know, I know that you're really busy, if you ever could call, you know, that'd be kind of nice. You know, your grandparents aren't going to be around forever, and so you may, you know, I mean, it's okay if you don't, though. And so it's just, it's toying with the emotions and trying to make you feel guilty.
Yeah, or I did this for you,
uh-huh.
And so now, because I did that for you, you owe me one.
Mm-hmm.
And so remember what I did? Remember what I did for you?
Yeah, and so
you got to help me out here.
Henry Cloud has written a lot about this idea. Not enough, because I didn't find enough to help me for the sermon. But he talks about how one of the things that a manipulating controller is the label that he uses there, that they will do things for you. And that's what's crazy about the manipulator, is that they can do really kind things for you.
Mm-hmm.
But they are keeping a record of that.
Yep.
And they are going to come back to you. And it may not be in a week. It could be 2 or 3 years.
Yep. 100%.
That they're going to come back and just go, hey, remember that time that I da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
Yep.
Well, here's what I need now. And so they just kind of hold.
Here's what I need. Here's what I want. Here's what I expect. And
they're going to hold it over their head.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's like one of those things that's just difficult, because that is a way in which a manipulator can, in some ways, gain power,
yes.
Right? To just be super generous and super kind for a very long time.
But you know, the bill's coming due.
With an ulterior motive.
There's a bill coming due.
It's not because they actually want to be generous.
Correct.
It's because they really need something in return. And so,
there are strings attached to everything.
Yep. Yeah.
With the manipulator.
So there's the guilt. The next one you talked about was flattery.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the people that, I mean, I think that one's fairly obvious. I mean, it's the brown noser. It's the people that are always just buttering you up.
Right.
And those kind of things. And once again, they're doing it because they're trying to gain favor.
Correct.
I don't
dislike the person who constantly says,
yeah,
Luke, you're doing such a good job.
Right.
You know, and it's like, yeah.
Well, and here's what stinks about, you know, saying, you know, talking about like how flattery is a sign of a manipulator, is that there are incredible people who will be listening to this podcast or listening to this message. And because they are spiritually mature, they're going to go, oh no, is that what I'm doing?
Well,
it's like,
yeah,
no.
There's a difference between having the spiritual gift of encouragement and being someone who, an enemy who multiplies kisses.
Yes.
Right? So huge, huge difference there.
Yeah. So hear this. Those of you who have the spiritual gift of encouragement, that is not flattery.
We don't think you're a manipulator when you tell us
stuff. No. And I think this is one of those things, and maybe this is I think you noted it in the notes. Well, it was you, because you're the only one that replied to me. That's why you're my favorite today.
Ooh, here we go.
But
Josh didn't get on his computer in
Israel.
Yeah,
Josh didn't get on his computer in Israel and send me notes. He's so selfish. Oh, gosh, what was I saying? Oh, no, I lost myself. What was I talking about?
There was a note that I put in under flattery.
Yeah.
I was the only one that said something.
You were the only one that said something. You're my
favorite.
I don't
actually remember what it is.
Hold on. I've got your notes up here. This is dynamite podcasting right here. It's amazing. Because we're talking
37 episodes in, we've got it figured out.
We've got it figured out. Where was it? We were talking about flattery.
Flattery, enemy multiplies kisses, people who have the spiritual gift of encouragement.
Yeah.
This is also just review for those of you who are listening who are starting to
I got
close
no
off.
Clue. Yeah. This is just old age with
all right,
me now.
There you go. Flattery.
Yeah, flattery. They're just buttering you up. And the reason why they do it is because they want something from you. They're not trying to encourage you. They're not trying to help you become better or any of those kind of things. Yeah. So
next one. Yeah. next one was intimidation.
Yes.
This one is – I've seen this one.
Absolutely.
Like,
oh,
really.
I know what it is. I remembered.
Right. Rewind.
Rewind. Is that we were talking, you mentioned that, like, and I'm jumping ahead into the application, but that it's like we ask for wisdom and discernment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, and the flattery one was there reminding me of this. It's like, I think we know flattery whenever we see it, for the most part.
Sure.
Because I can tell a difference between, and I'm sure you can as well, I can tell a difference between somebody flattering me and mm-hmm. buttering me up.
Yep.
And somebody giving me a genuine compliment and encouragement.
Yeah.
But wisdom and discernment is so key throughout this entire series of whenever we're dealing with difficult people. And that's what you'd pointed out is that in every message it is, hey, we've got to ask for wisdom and discernment. Yeah. Who am I dealing with right here? And so that was the thing about flattery is it's I think for most people, it's obvious. Is this flattery or is this real encouragement?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And hopefully the reason why we're able to discern it so quickly is because we know where our confidence comes from.
Yeah.
That my confidence doesn't come in the opinions and the flatteries and the encouragements of other people. Mm-hmm. It's in my security of who I know I am in the Lord.
Yep.
And so whenever somebody comes along and they do give me a legitimate encouragement, and they use their gift to do that, mm-hmm. It's just like, man, that's incredible. That's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's
right,
what
it was. There you go. Good stuff. I'm glad it came back.
It did. It came back.
Yeah.
It would have come back earlier.
Intimidation.
Later.
Intimidation yes. is the next one. And if you don't talk about it, I'm going to.
Yes.
Right. This is what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's, you know, if you talk about that one more time, we're going to leave the church. If you don't bring this up, I think that the huge example is like of our dating relationships and those things to where you've got a guy or a girl that's like, you know, pressuring their significant other. It's like, you need to do what I want. Otherwise,
yep.
It's over.
Yeah.
Another word for it's called grooming, I think.
It really is.
So, yeah. But
absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, that's intimidation.
Yeah. And, you know, if someone does have something, I was thinking about a story, that, just, you know, someone got themselves into a little bit of trouble. And so, you know, the intimidator manipulator did have some power over them because mm-hmm. of some information that they had.
Yeah.
And
blackmail.
So blackmail.
Yeah.
Blackmail is intimidation here.
Yes. And it's manipulation.
And it's manipulation. So it's part of that too. Next one was isolation. I thought this was probably the one that, as I was reading it, this is the one that surprised me the most.
Yeah.
And so talk to us a little bit about that, what that
so
looks like.
Think about this. What does a manipulator do is they try to isolate you from anyone who's going to point out that
yeah.
you are
yep.
manipulating
yeah.
them
yep.
or that you are being manipulated
100%.
By them. And so they'll do it by taking pot shots. They'll do it by running down those other people. They'll do it by monopolizing your time, controlling your time. And flattering you along the way. You
yep.
don't need them. Oh my goodness. You know, you got everything that you need here.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is just to separate you from those who can point out the manipulation.
Yeah.
And so they isolate you yep. from everybody else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It absolutely is there. So you've got those descriptions. Now we're actually getting to the, how do we deal?
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with it? Yesterday you said, well, and again, this is kind of a common theme is the wisdom and discernment. It's the recognition. God help
yeah.
me to figure out who this is I'm working with. So recognize when someone is trying to manipulate you. So talk to us a little bit about that application point and kind of walk us through there.
Yeah, and that's what I was just saying a second ago, is this is that idea that we've got to be able to have the Holy Spirit kind of lead us and say, okay, this is what's going on here. And the problem is that whenever you get into a dysfunctional relationship with someone, that the longer you're in it, the more functional you think it is, and you can't even begin to see the dysfunction that's there.
Yeah.
And so that's why you need outside wisdom, whether it's from only the Holy Spirit or it's the Holy Spirit that using the voice of somebody else to speak to you, just helping you to recognize it. And so that's why if we're struggling with it, I love James 1:5. I mean, that is just
incredible verse.
Incredible verse.
Any of you lacks wisdom, ask.
He'll give it to you.
Yep.
And I love it too, because James is like, and God won't rebuke you for asking for wisdom.
Yeah.
God's not like looking at you and it's like, you stupid moron. How do you not even know this by
you
now?
You should have been able to
figure this out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to give you that. It's just like, he's like, no, if you don't understand, just ask and I'll give it to you. So, I mean, it's a promise from God.
Yep.
It's a promise from him. And so, so we ask for wisdom, discernment, and then we look for the signs. And I'm sure there are more signs than what I threw out there.
Yeah, you threw out two. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, but I only get so many minutes, you know, to be able to get up there. That red light or the red numbers start blinking at me. But so two big signs. If you find it difficult to say no to this person, then you're probably dealing with a manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you find yourself compromising your values for them.
Yeah.
And so those are the two flat out big warning signs that, oh my goodness, I think I may be dealing with somebody. This person's trying to manipulate me.
Sure.
Because I can't say no to them. I go into it and it's like, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be firm. I'm not going to do that. And then they come to me and it's just like, by the end of the day, it's just like they pulled like this Jedi mind trick on you. And it's like, wait a second.
You will do what I say.
Those were the droids I was looking for. You know, it's like, how did this happen?
I love it. No, I think that that's huge. And two, like, I think that there's an extra layer to that, is that if you ever do get to the point to where you say no,
mm-hmm.
The response of that person will tell you a lot as well.
Absolutely.
So like if you do say no to someone and there's just like a ton of grace there, okay, that's a little bit better. But if you do say no and there's like, well, what? And then guess what starts happening? It's the
guilt threats, intimidation,
all of that sort of stuff. So like, you know, that'll tell you a lot, not only if you feel like you can't say no, but if you ever do get to the point to where you do and their response is just like super negative.
Yep.
Yeah. A red flag.
And then whenever you find yourself doing things with them or for them that you would never do on your own, because it goes against everything that you believe.
Yeah.
And you, after you're with them, you're just like,
what happened?
What happened? Yep. It's probably you're being manipulated and being controlled by that.
Absolutely. It's so hard to recognize when you're in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why, you know, you see a lot of broken relationships and, you know, things coming out after years and years and years sometimes because it took us a long time to figure it out.
Yep.
But we need to be proactive
about
it, which is kind of this next point about putting healthy boundaries in place.
Yes.
Talk to us a little about why and how and what.
Okay.
So why put these boundaries in? And I think that'll be the easiest one. How?
Mm-hmm.
And then what type of boundaries are we talking about?
So boundaries are to protect. And I was listening to something that Henry Cloud was talking about. And I liked how he phrased it. He said, think of boundaries like this. They're not. He doesn't call a boundary a wall.
Sure.
He would describe it as a property line.
Yeah.
This is my property.
Yep.
And so whenever you're having difficulty with someone crossing over the property line and those kind of things, we have to put up fences, and you can put gates in the fences, and and depending on the damage that person is causing in your life, maybe it is a wall or something that you've got to make, you know, really, really strong.
Sure.
But it's just like, here's what is mine. And this is my area. This is how do I grow? How do I flourish? And how do I take care of that? So that's what the boundary is. It's the property lines. This is my life, not your life. And so that's the what, I guess, is what it is. The why is because it is to protect, to enable us to flourish.
Sure.
The How is probably the more difficult one, because that requires grown-up conversations sometimes with people.
Yeah.
Or it requires really difficult decisions of, I will no longer be friends with this group of people.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to start saying no every time they ask me to go out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to require that I maybe block their number. Maybe I've got to, you know, so it's, that's the how, there. So it's a tough balance to be able to do, because a lot of times people think, a boundary is just, we'll be a jerk to a jerk. You know, let's fight fire with fire, you know,
right.
And, but
eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth,
eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, that's in the Bible. And so
negatively,
so we should do that. But yeah, so it's putting healthy boundaries in place.
Yeah. Okay. So love that. So we're dealing with a manipulative person. We know why. We know how a little bit, maybe more difficult to do, but like what type of boundaries are we talking about? This is where we can get really practical with maybe some phrases and some sayings and some actual, you know, if it's mm-hmm. like naming those boundaries and fences that we're going to put up.
Yeah, I think it is like, I'm not going to let you talk to me that way. I love you. Yeah. That's inappropriate, but this is inappropriate. And, so I really do. I care for you, want to have a relationship with you, but you cannot call me that name.
Yeah.
It is the, whenever you're dealing with someone with, maybe it's substance abuse.
Sure.
It, and maybe they get busted or they get caught, and maybe it's been multiple times. And so it's like, you know what? I know this is hard. This is a difficult thing, but because I love you, I'm not going to run to your rescue today, because that's not helping you. It's not helping me. It's whenever your kids are throwing a pitch and fit, they're yelling, they're screaming, you know, all those other kind of things. Yeah. And it's just like, listen, I love you, but I'm not going to tolerate that.
Right.
And so, whenever you're ready to act like a normal human being, then we'll talk again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those are just some of the things. It's just like, I expect more. I'm not going to expect this. I love you, but you can't say that. In this house, we don't use,
you know
those words.
Right.
You can't threaten. I'm not going to own the guilt that you're trying to put onto me.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing here, and I'm. That's kind of the way forward. Now, whenever we do that, a manipulator is probably not just going to go, you know what?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you telling me that. So, they might double down on it, and that's why the boundary is just so important to place. And not saying it's easy.
No, nothing about it is easy. But important if you, want to love well the people who are trying to control, but also protect yourself and mm-hmm. the people in your circles from some of that stuff. So just really, really helpful, practical stuff there. And really this whole series, you know, we talked about it before we hit play and you mentioned it here in the podcast. Like, this has been a really different one.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've gone three, but we were talking about even just what I've got coming up next week. It's just like, this mm-hmm. feels like a weird sermon to kind of write, you know, mm-hmm. as far as trying to how to structure this and what to pick and how to say. And we always want to do our best to be faithful to the text. And it's like, okay, what text am I trying to be faithful to? You know, right. All that sort of stuff.
Right.
So,
all of it.
Yeah, all of it. And so it's, but it's been a fun series and I hope a really helpful series for you guys who are, you know, coming to church and listening to the podcast. 'Cause the reality is difficult people are unavoidable. And so we got to deal with them the way, the best that we can, in a way that honors and loves the Lord. So bottom line yesterday about this, I loved this. If you give control to a person,
mm-hmm. then
God is not in control of you.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I saw that and I immediately thought of Ephesians chapter 5, which is the verse that says, don't get drunk with wine, but instead let the Spirit control you.
Yeah.
Right. So like, don't give control to anything else other than the Spirit.
Yes.
And so that would apply to, you know, the people in our lives who are trying to take control. Just love, yes. love that bottom line.
Yeah.
You
know, they're a terrible God.
Yes, they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can be the best person in the world.
Correct.
They are a terrible 100%. God.
100%. And so I don't know, this is for your bingo card here too, but this is kind of a thought that I had in my mind is like, okay, so what can I be doing right now to make sure that it is God that's in control of me? And rhythms was the first word that popped into my mind. It's like, you are practicing rhythms on a daily basis to make sure that God is in control of you. You don't practice rhythms on a daily basis to make sure that they are.
Yep.
And so just love that bottom line. The challenge, pray, God help me see my need to control and surrender everything to you. Don't think that at this point in the series, that's a surprise.
Right.
That we're kind of inwardly focused at this point. But yeah, just pray that prayer this week. Any other kind of thoughts about this as we kind of wrap up the sermon portion of this little podcast that we like to do?
No, I'm excited to see what where you end up going with the hypocrites. So looking forward to that.
Hypocrites. Hypocrisies.
Hypocrite.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I'm excited to see where I'll end up too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've done some work on it so far, and I've got a pretty good idea of where to head, but still have lots of work to do as well. Which
it's a good thing you got some days to do it.
Maybe it's a blessing that it's raining outside because I'll be able to get some study in rather than some disc golf. But yeah, hey, let's end with something fun. It'll be kind of like a little bit of a game, where we're trying to help each other win. So it's like not like we're fighting against each other.
All right,
which you know. Might make it not as fun, I guess. I don't know. But what we're going to do is we are going to play a game that's kind of like a word association game.
Okay.
So I'm going to read a word, and then we're going to go ahead and count to three and say a new word together at the same time, trying to match what the other person says together. So here would be an example.
Okay.
If the word is pickle, we'll count to three, and then we'll say a different word and try to say the same word. So it could be like ball, green, cucumber, potassium, I don't know, like all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
All right.
Find out.
We'll see how many we can get right. Okay. The first word is banana. One, two, three.
Yellow. Peel.
0-1. We might not be good at this. The second word is basketball. 3-2-1.
Jordan. Oh.
The next word is church. 3-2-1.
Corinth.
Jesus. Oh, no. Okay. All right. We're 0-3. We're gonna get one. Okay. So the next one is coffee. 3-2-1.
Black.
Mug. Oh, gosh. Okay. Next one. Dishwasher. 3-2-1.
Detergent.
Okay, really, I was not expecting us to just straight up start 0-5. I thought we were going to be more in sync with each other.
I don't know, man.
All right. Next one is house. 3-2-1.
Sit. Door.
What did you say?
Sit. House sit.
Sit. Oh, like house sitting. Sitter. Okay.
Yeah.
Summer. 3-2-1.
Vacation.
We're not good at this.
How different are Adam and Luke?
Apparently pretty different.
Very different. Okay?
All right. We're going to get one. We've still got, we're halfway through. We're 0-7. We have 15 of them. So we're going to get one, I think. Okay. Ready? Number 8, chicken. 3-2-1.
Wing.
Chick-fil-A.
Should
have had it. Number 9, McDonald's. 3-2-1.
Gross.
French fry. I almost said gross because I figured
you
might have
known
said
I was going to say gross.
Yeah, I still am convinced there's two types of people in the world, people who like McDonald's and liars.
I can't even tell you the last time I had McDonald's.
Yeah, it's good.
Nah.
It's still good. Okay. All right. Next word is paper. 3-2-1.
Clip.
Cut.
Oh,
that was close. That was close.
That's
okay.
Close.
All right. The next word is book. 3-2-1.
Club.
Bible.
Oh, man. Listen, you being all spiritual.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to...
Jesus and Bible. You
know, Jesus and Bible. Okay, we're 0-11.
That's nice. I think we try to run the table now.
Yeah, at this point. All right, next one is beach. 3-2-1.
Ball.
Sand.
Ah.
Oh, I almost said ball there,
you
too.
Did?
Yeah. Okay, I know we can get this one. Next one, football.
Okay.
3-2-1.
Chiefs.
There we go.
That was like set it up on a tee, man.
Yes. Okay. Next one is Patrick Mahomes. 3-2-1. Goat.
Yes.
And the last one is Waffle House. 3-2-1.
Awesome.
Disgusting. Okay. There we go. We got 2 for 15. And to be honest, the two that we got right I intentionally put there because I figured we would get them.
Yeah, those are pretty good safe bets there.
All right. Well, Adam and I are nothing alike.
No.
I would be interested to try and do this with Josh next time that he is here, which he won't be here again next week. He's back in Israel.
He's still in Israel.
When he is finally back together with us in the podcast, I'd be interested.
Episode 74, he'll be back.
That's a while from now. Yeah. Cool. Well, it's been a fun conversation today, and we are grateful that you've tuned in. Part number 4 and the last part of Difficult People is this Sunday, so we hope to see you in person and then, of course, back in the car on Monday morning. We love you, and we're grateful. We hope you have a good week. Peace and grace.
Boom.